Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
I was recently asked to do a staff training for our residential staff at the ranch. Our counseling staff and school staff got in on it too. And what I was talking about is the horrible turnover in the field of social work. This is a real problem. And I want to encourage all of you who care about children, whether you are involved in teaching children or counseling children, mentoring children, parenting children, whatever, to listen to what I had to share with our staff, because it applies to all of us, not just those who are in the social work field. It applies to all of us because we need to learn how to rely on the Lord in the midst of our daily lives. And I hope that this ministry will be an encouragement to you. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you are here with us, and we pray that you would please guide this time together. I pray that your name would be exalted and that all of us would increasingly appreciate our dependence on you. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. When we first came here, I made several efforts to try and build relationships with local DCS workers, Department of Children's Services. And what I found was that the people who I connected with, when I went back to talk to them again, weren't there. They kept changing. It was like a revolving door. And this is discouraging because you're trying to build relationships with people who can help you connect with families that need our services. And every time I go back, it's a whole new crop of folks. That's not to say no one stays in that position. It is to say that lots of people come and go. And this is not just a problem in East Tennessee. This is a problem and a real problem nationwide. And, by the way, in other parts of the world as well. I was asked in about 1999, perhaps, to speak to the Association of Public School Social Workers for the state of Tennessee. They were having their meeting here in Sevier County, and I was very delighted and honored that the head of social work for Sevier County wanted me to be their speaker. So, I mean, she got them all here, they had refreshments, and I got to talk to them. I love that kind of thing. I spoke to them about what I want to speak to you about today. Because this is not a problem that we just sort of discovered after we came to this area. I've known about this kind of work, this kind of problem, because of various areas of work and ministry that I've been involved with since I was quite young. And I want to suggest a way of understanding what's going on that I hope will be helpful and encouraging to you. Before I do, let me give you a little bit of background from the internet. The New Social Worker Careers Magazine published an article way back in winter of 2008. The title was "Compassion Fatigue: Being an Ethical Social Worker." It's by Tracy Wharton, who has a couple of master's degrees. And Tracy writes this: "When I was a young counselor just out of school, I took a job at an alternative school. I provided crisis intervention and behavioral therapy to children who were unable to succeed in normal educational environments. One of my clients was a six-year-old girl who had been repeatedly sexually abused and had been bounced around foster homes with her aggressive outbursts. After one particularly bad day of her active flashbacks, I found myself sitting in my clinical supervisor's office in tears. "How do you do it?" I asked. "I can't sleep without thinking about her, about all of them. How do you deal with it?" He turned around and slammed his briefcase shut. "Like that," he said, latching the locks shut. "You just have to learn to walk away. If you can't do it, maybe you're in the wrong field." I hated him at that moment, and suddenly I felt as if all my teachers had betrayed me for not letting me in on this little secret. Why hadn't anyone told me that this job would hurt so much sometimes? She goes on to say, the truth is he was wrong. He may be able to shut it all off at the end of each day, but research tells us that most of us cannot and do not do that. In fact, about 48% of the total social work workforce in the United States experiences high levels of personal distress as a result of their work. Did you hear that? About 48% of the total social work workforce in the U.S. experiences high levels of personal distress. If anybody wants more information or to read the whole article, glad to let you have it after I get my notes off the back. I looked at, and this is just today, looking on the internet, how widely recognized is this problem? What sort of stats are we talking about? In Indiana, back in 2012, there was an article, "State Continues to See High Turnover of DCS Case Managers." We found in a one-year period, DCS hired 511 new case managers. 21 transferred to other positions during that same time, while 280 simply quit. It created a loss of 18.1% agency-wide, roughly the same loss as the previous year at 18.7%. 13 investigates found much higher turnover in specific DCS regions, etc. DCS Director Judge James Payne recently talked about the turnover improvement in Marion County. In 2004 in Marion County, I know it was over 35%. 1 year, 35%. He said of the revolving door of caseworkers. Neighboring Region 11, including Hamilton, Hancock, and Madison counties, took a dramatic jump up 10 points from 16% to 26% loss. It's a chronic problem. Arizona, June 28, 2015, so a little less than a year ago. The headline is, Arizona Child Safety Agency struggles with staff turnover and rising child removals. They're talking about how many kids are being pulled out of homes because it's such a bad situation. Two recent high-profile child deaths in which DCS had prior contact with the families have intensified scrutiny and stoked doubts that the agency can fulfill its mission to keep kids safe. That's one of the reasons why there's such high turnover. If you're told you must investigate all these reports, and they hand you a stack of reports, and you look at the number of hours in a day and the number of cases you're already trying to manage, and now these are new reports, and you've got to decide which ones are credible and which ones are critical and which of these kids might end up dead if you don't pull them out of the home, pretty soon you realize, I can't do what they're asking me to do, and so you leave. Or you find a way to survive in the system. And that's what I want to talk about today. There is a pattern of one of two paths that are typically taken by people who go into this kind of field. And I would like to describe those paths, hopefully in a somewhat memorable manner, by giving them some names that you may be able to visualize. The first is a person by the name of Tammy Tinder. Do you know what Tinder is? Not the dating app. It's not what I'm talking about. But the reason why that dating app was named Tinder. Tinder is something that is easily flammable. It's small stuff that's dry and readily accepts a spark and readily embraces the flame and readily burns, and you have to add kindling on top of the tinder in order to build a fire, because you can't stand there and warm yourself over tinder. It flames up and it flames out, okay? It's great at easily connecting with the fire, but it isn't able to sustain the flame. Tons of people go into this field because they want to make a difference. They really sincerely want to make a difference. I just want to help kids. I think kids are beautiful. I think kids are wonderful. I think kids are just so excited. They bring out the young person in me. I just want to be there, absorb their energy, listen to their problems, offer them encouragement. Oh, it's so wonderful. And pretty soon, that person is burned out. I remember feeling that way when I was young. I signed up to be, believe it or not, I know this is going to, just some people are going to faint. I signed up to be a recreation leader for a day camp. Okay? For a day camp. Picture me having fun. You know, playing games. I mean, it's comical. But I mean, it was so good. We were doing Duck, Duck, Goose one day. And I grabbed, you know, the person next to me, they hit our hands. So we were supposed to jump up and run around the circle and make it back. And I didn't want this kid to be having to do, you know, the part where you go around tap. I wanted that other person who tapped us to have to do it again, because we were going to make it back first. As I ran around the circle, the kid I was trying to help actually became airborne. And so, I mean, his feet were off the ground. He was flying like a kite. And it was a big circle. And he collided with the person who was running around the circle this way. I mean, just boom, hit him in the side like this. I felt the thump, and I looked back to be sure he was okay. And he was like, and I thought, he's having a ball. And I kept running, and I looked back again, and he was like, we got back around, we won, we got back in time, and he was in tears. It turned out he couldn't breathe, okay? I mean, you know, when it quieted down, because everybody's yelling and all, we get back over there, and it's like, hey, we made it, we won. And he's like, I felt horrible. Oh, it was terrible. I'm so sorry. I took him outside, and of course, he wanted to go home, and I'm thinking, that's not good. You know, hi, can you come get your son? I think I almost killed him. But, you know, I mean, I had great intentions. I had the best of intentions. But after I'd worked with kids day after day after day after day after day after day, my attitude toward those kids toward the end of summer was not what it was at the beginning of the summer. I didn't think they were nearly as cute. I didn't think they were nearly as much fun, and I didn't think they deserved a good time. Now, that's terrible, but that's honest. I'm just telling you, I know what it is to be super enthused, and I know what it is as a young person in the course of a summer to burn out. I was tender. I was easily ignited and quickly flamed out. I was not good for the long haul. So think of Tammy Tinder, if you will, the idealistic young woman who is eager to help, eager to make a difference in the lives of children, may know the Lord and love the Lord, but that's one reason we need mentors here. They come in every year full of enthusiasm, full of idealism, full of energy, ready to go. And what typically happens? At the end of 1 year, they're toast. Some, aren't you? You've seen it. But at the end of 1 year, some are like, no, I want to keep doing this. They're the standouts. They're the champions. They're like, okay, we're going to give you a second year. They're like, thank you. And we're like, no, thank you. Okay? And so they come for 2 years. And sometimes at the end of 2 years, they say, you know, I'm really enjoying this. This is really good. I'd like to do more. And we say, well, not in the house. Okay? I mean, you can perhaps do something else here, but not in the house. Okay? Because we know that that job, by design, is more like a sprint than a marathon. Okay? Now, it may seem like, oh, 12 months is a long sprint. Yeah, but not compared to 20 years. And we need some people who can last for decades. And we need some people who can last for a decade. But we've structured the mentor position where we always have a fresh supply of these wonderful, flammable young people. Okay? So we love that. That's not a criticism of those folks. It is a description of a mode that is unsustainable. Got it? You can't be like you are when you're in your early 20s, when you're in your 40s. It just doesn't happen. People who try and do that end up not only hurting themselves, but looking kind of goofy. Okay? And that's just reality. You have to slow down somewhat as you get older. And that's fine. But Tinder is very useful for building a fire. It's not a bad thing. But you've got to understand you can't just stay that way and last a long time.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
The second character I want to introduce you to, Tammy Tinder, you got first. Second person is Charlene Cole. You can just write it as Char Cole. Okay? Charcoal is is not like Tinder. Tinder is soft, you know, it's there's a lot of air there. Charcoal is hard. It's like little rocks. And if you've ever tried to light charcoal that didn't have fuel that had been injected into it, like the Kingswood Edge thing has the fuel already built in so that you can light it with a match, right? If you get regular charcoal, you have to squirt lighter fluid on it, or it won't light. If you've ever tried, as I have, to light just regular charcoal with a match, it doesn't light. You probably weren't stupid enough to do that. But see, I was used to using the stuff that had the fuel in it, and so I thought that's what I had, and I poured it in the thing, and I didn't have any lighter fluid. I just went to light it with a match, and instead of it going like this, it just went. And I'm like, what? Took another match, put it to it. I mean, just no reaction, not impressed. And I've met so many people in ministry like that. I mean, I really have.
They've heard it all. They've seen it all. And they are unmoved. You tell them a story and they're like, yeah, I know the kind. In order for us to put in the proposal to receive this property back in 1990, we would get the deed in 1991, but we had to make the proposal in 1990. In order to get the statistics for that proposal, I called Department of Children's Services in Tennessee. And I said to the guy, whoever it was that answered, I said, I need to get some statistics from you about child abuse in Tennessee. He said, I'm sorry, I can't help you. And the Holy Spirit was very gracious and spoke to me and then through me to that man on the other end of the phone. I said, look, you don't know me, I don't know you, but I want you to pause for just a minute and remember why you went into this line of work. I believe that you probably originally started working with the Department of Children's Services because you didn't just want a job, you wanted to help kids. And now you've been there a while, and you can't be bothered, and I don't blame you. But I have an opportunity to help a lot of kids if you'll take a few minutes of your time to help me. Will you please do that? He said, can you call me back in about 20 minutes or whatever it was he said? And I said, yeah, I sure can. He said, okay, call me back. So I called him back when he said to call him back. And he gave me all the information I needed. It was all available. But when I asked the first time, he wasn't interested. But when he stopped and thought about, why am I here? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Am I just trying to get a paycheck? Am I just doing this because, you know, it's a job? Or do I really want to help kids? And am I willing to extend myself in order to try and help somebody else help kids? When he thought of it in those terms, all of a sudden it changed the whole situation. Do you know how charcoal becomes charcoal? You take wood, usually, sometimes other matter, and you do a process called pyrolysis, I think it's called. It's pyro. Olysis, okay? And what that means is you slowly burn it in an environment where it can't get any air. It's almost like working in a ministry, okay? You just slowly cooked and you can't come up for air. I gotta stay here. I gotta do this. I got to do what it takes. One more day. One foot in front of the other. I'm going to make it. We're going to be okay. Others have done it before me. Look, they're all around me. And suddenly we come like an army of the undead. Okay? Yes. Can you do it? Are you making supper or am I? And what happens in that situation is there's still some fuel there, okay? I mean, why do we use charcoal? It's great to cook over, right? But you really got to get it hot before it'll light up, right? And when it burns slowly. It lasts a whole lot longer than tinder. You can not only warm yourself over, you can cook over it. It'll get hot. It'll get really hot. But it's got to have the tinder to get it going. That's why we put mentors with old people like me.
Well, folks, that's all we have time for today, but we're going to be back with the conclusion tomorrow. I hope that you will tune in for that because I don't want you to miss the solution to the problem. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.